Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we'll be finding out about an organization on the Long Beach Peninsula, Pacific County. It is called the Do-Goodniks. That's D-O-G-O-O-D-N-I-C. The Do-Goodniks. Who are they, and what are they doing on the Long Beach Peninsula? We'll be finding out about a town hall meeting coming up on Friday, April 14th at Chautauqua Lodge in Long Beach, and more from my guests in the studio. Today, I have Robert Brake. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
He is a co-founder of the Do-Goodniks with his wife, Gwen Brake. Hi, Gwen.
Good morning.
Glad you're here today.
Thank you.
We're going to learn more about them in just a minute. Robert, let's see. Shall we ask Gwen first to tell us about herself, or shall we ask you?
Oh, ask her.
Ask Gwen first? Yes. Oh, no. Gwen's saying no. No. Gwen, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in the Midwest in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, so many lovely people from Madison, Wisconsin.
It was a great place to grow up. It was voted number one city in, to raise a child in the 60s, I think, and 70s. I met my husband. Actually, he interviewed me for a job at a university, for a university teaching position. I didn't get the job.
But I wound up marrying her.
Okay, worked out then for the highest good.
So that was 37 years ago, and we've been kind of moving around the country a bit and landed here 18 years ago.
Were you an academic then? You were in, what was your career before you moved here?
I have been in desktop publishing and design and marketing and director of publications for the chancellor's office.
Teacher.
And basically a teacher in and out of many universities as an adjunct. So kind of exploring, exploring careers, but it always ended up in publications and design.
What a great skill to have.
We moved here, and I had both Robert and I were teaching online classes for Portland Community College. This was before it was even thought of. This was 18 years ago. And we had both full classes. We had 1,200 students a year when we moved here. And we immediately got jobs at Clatsop Community College and Grays Harbor College. So we were teaching two classes online and two classes at Clatsop and two classes at Grays Harbor College, mostly in computer technology and business. Robert was teaching business and communications and marketing. So we've been kind of in this field of business, technology, marketing for a long time.
Okay, and you've been here on the Long Beach Peninsula now for 18 years.
18 years.
All right, well, we'll talk about how those, what you've seen in terms of changes in a little bit. But so Robert Brake, please tell us about yourself.
I am a retired college teacher, 47 years, and they kept hiring me until I got it right. A freelance writer, a community volunteer, and a very proud supporter of Coast Community Radio.
Oh, excellent. And why did you all choose? Because now Gwen's told us a little bit about your background. I know you have a PhD, and I know you've been a professor and all these things, and you have a lot of skills with in computer technology. Why did you all choose to move to the Long Beach Peninsula 18 years ago?
Oh, can I tell that story? Me.
Oh, you tell a story, yeah.
Actually, I had a friend who, she had a little timeshare thing for RVs in Seaside. And we pulled in there, and they said, oops, you can't come here this weekend because your husband was just here and you only get every other weekend. So she said, where should we go? And I said, well, I've never been to the Long Beach Peninsula. So we headed off in her RV and crossing the bridge, and I was like terrified going over the bridge for the first time. I couldn't believe it. And as we passed what is now our street, I looked down the street and I said to my friend, wouldn't this be a great place to put in a manufactured home? Because it was this wonderful little block that was just tucked away and off the road, but you could see all the neighborhood was all manicured. And funny that we ended up buying on that street and doing just that. So it was kind of an interesting little, wouldn't it be interesting? I got to tell them about this street, and we bought there.
So what was it that you loved about the Long Beach Peninsula that made you want to move there? Just a lot of natural beauty. And as you told me just before we came on the air, the average age of the folks living in Pacific County and Long Beach, Minnesota, is about 50 years old, right?
There are a lot of retirees there. One of the, my initial impression of the peninsula was they have a lot of churches and a lot of thrift stores and RV outlets. And then I realized there's a lot more going on now. They have a tremendous number of volunteers and some very talented artists and retired teachers and others that we got to know and work with. And ultimately, with our Do Goodniks projects, we've been involved with them. And then I realized there are about 30 nonprofit organizations, not counting churches and fraternal organizations. And we thought maybe if we created our own nonprofit organization, we could help the other nonprofit organizations work together, or we could work with them to help them promote and market their projects.
Exactly. A lot of nonprofits really need technical support. So how did you come up with the name, the Do Goodniks, and when did you found it, and what is the mission of the Do Goodniks?
The origin of the name I thought of the Rocky and Bullwinkle show on TV about 50 years ago. And the resident villain, Boris Badenoff, billed himself as the world's greatest no-goodnik. And very few people ever challenged that claim. Until the Do-Goodniks came along 3 years ago, and we decided Do-Goodniks is better than no-goodniks. And so that's where we got the name. And I think it's very hard for people to respond to Do-Goodniks in a negative way.
It makes you smile, actually. It's true. When you think, well, I'm a Do-Goodnik. Okay, so what is a Do-Goodnik? What do the Do-Goodniks on the Long Beach Peninsula do?
Well, Robert specializes in marketing and communication and working with businesses. And he's had leadership training. He's provided all kinds of training inside businesses to help businesses work on their communication flow and strategies. And I specialize in publications and design and getting materials put together immediately and fast and getting them out to the right media organizations. So we decided that we would take my expertise in technology and his marketing and bring them to current needs. We would fulfill current needs of nonprofit organizations, so offer them to other nonprofits, and help build community.
I
just wanted to add that I spent 12 years here working for the Astoria School District as a tech and as a tech curriculum specialist. So I knew my job was to be at the cutting edge of technology, to provide that to kids, and to keep my focus always on pushing the outer limits of technology. Where are we going as a society? What values can we imbue in our technology, in our use of technology? So that was really important to me. So we kind of married these two factors, marketing and leadership, and professional development with technology. And our friends that helped us form this organization were similarly imbued with leadership training and were providing professional development classes around the country. And we were almost identical, mirrored skills. He was a tech guru, and she was a professional development guru. So we had the four of us and perfect marriage of skills.
And so you're right now, the Do Goodniks has been around for 3 years, and you are not a membership organization. It's just kind of essentially it's the small staff, the two of you, essentially, providing these skills to some of the organizations. Like, let's talk about some of the organizations you work with. I know that you've been involved with the Water Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some of those nonprofits you're working with.
Because I was the Verizon Innovative Learning Coach for the Astoria School District at the time we kind of rolled out Do Goodniks, I was very interested in what was happening with the Boys and Girls Club. And I walked into the club one day and got this lovely tour. We got a lovely tour by Gene Fisher, the director of the program. And I was astonished. I mean, a fabulous facility for kids. But no computers. There were three computers that looked like they had come
out of a
boneyard somewhere. And she was like, yeah, we don't use these very often. They were unplugged. And I was astonished. We were looking for areas where we could, you know, where we could have a significant impact. And I ended up, we talked together and decided that we could bring computers, have a workshop for the summer. I borrowed computers to bring them in, and our organization bought Lego robotics. So we brought Lego robotics because I was we were working on STEM education.
And we got
STEM
donations, education. Too.
And so STEM education was critical to me. You know, I see that as critical to our kids. So we taught, we had a summer workshop with borrowed computers and newly purchased Lego robotics, and got kids started, and got the organization clicking. It was a way of starting and starting the juices flowing. And then Gene wanted to came upon another opportunity with the 21st Century Learning Grant folks, and they wanted to write a grant combining 21st Learning folks with the Ocean Beach School District, the Boys and Girls Club, and Do-Goodniks. And Do-Goodniks became the representative for STEM education.
So, tell about what STEM education is, just for those listeners who may say, I don't know what STEM education
science,
is.
Science, technology, engineering, and math.
Yes.
So,
right.
And because I had been that Verizon Innovative Learning coach for the Astoria School District, I had the tools, and I wrote that portion of what has now become a 5-year grant, and I was the STEM coordinator for their new program, which was funded for 5 years, and is now called the Peninsula Active Learners. So
there's a difference that Do-Goodniks have made,
yes.
Right there at the Boys and Girls Club, and I know that you've done other things as well.
One of the other things we've done is a continuing program called Music and Memory, and it is dedicated to providing free music programs or programmed iPods with favorite music of dementia, Alzheimer's, or stroke victims, people with severe memory losses. So we have been providing assistance that way to assisted living individuals at Golden Sands in Long Beach. We've conducted over, must be about 25 different free Friday programs for sometimes 8 or 12 different residents with our free music. We also presented the February 18th free program at the museum in Iwako with Red and Ruby, which is a duo who did fabulous swing music from the 30s and 40s, and that attracted 100 people and provided some quality music at no charge to them. So a lot of our emphasis has been on music to enrich the quality of life.
It sounds to me like the two of you came here, got very busy for a while, and then kind of said, well, now we really aren't working in the world, so to speak, so let's find some things we can do to help the community we live in, to help the Long Beach Peninsula. And then you said, well, let's do the Do-Goodniks, and you obviously are not charging for your services. You are providing these two.
Free is a very good price.
Free is a good price. Free is a good price. Okay, this is what to do. See, retirement is not what it used to be. There
exactly.
are so many wonderful things people can do. So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, my guests are Robert Brake and Gwen Brake. And the two of them formed an organization. It's a nonprofit on the Long Beach Peninsula called the Do-Goodniks, D-O-G-O-O-D-N-I-C. To Do-Goodniks. And they have been sponsoring free programs and working with about 30 different nonprofit organizations at work that are on the Long Beach Peninsula. And you also have a town hall coming up. Let's talk about what the Do-Goodniks want to do and how you want to branch out and how you see the future of the Do-Goodniks.
The town hall meeting will be Friday night, April 14th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Chautauqua Lodge in Long Beach. That's off of 14th Street Northwest and Pacific Way. What we've done is we put together a program featuring speakers and all kinds of opportunities for what we anticipate to be 100 or more attendees to speak up, to ask questions, to listen to good speakers, register to vote, and to really get involved with the community.
Okay, but this is not a partisan. I mean, in other words, the Do-Goodniks are sponsoring this town hall. Now, typically, town halls are called by representatives. I mean, how do typical town halls work, and why is this one different?
Well, typically, a town hall is organized by an elected politician, or sometimes forums or town halls are sponsored by nonpartisan groups like the League of Women Voters. To my knowledge, in the 18 years that we've lived on the peninsula, there has never been a town hall organized at a grassroots level by individuals, such as the Do-Goodniks project. That's what makes it different.
So what do you hope, what do the Do-Goodniks, whose mission is to facilitate conversation and provide technical expertise to nonprofits, what do the Do-Goodniks hope to have happen, I guess, at the town hall meeting or come out of this experience?
We're hoping to build community. We haven't had a town hall in our community in 6 years, and the last one was called by a congressman. But we think it's time that local folks talk to each other about issues impacting our community that aren't partisan, that don't involve heated debate. I think it's important for us to discuss what's happening, what is good about our community, but what can we improve about our community? So to bring together elected officials and have folks talk with them about what they need, what's going right, what's going wrong. So we'd like to have an ongoing dialogue. And we're hoping that a town hall is not just something that gets called because a partisan just happens to show up one day or wants to call one. We're hoping that it becomes a part of our community. Maybe in 6 months when the election, when we have ballots again out in November, that we can have an opportunity to talk to the whole slate of candidates and folks can come together and ask questions and make it a point of coming together to improve our community.
We have six guest speakers representing a variety of interests. We have an attorney and educator who is qualified to appear before the United States Supreme Court. And Catherine Murdoch is going to be talking about the law as it applies to public education. We have Pacific County Commissioner, Pacific County Sheriff, the Long Beach Mayor, Ocean Beach School District Representative, and a candidate for U.S. Representative in 2018. So we have a wide variety of people. There will be opportunities for the audience to ask questions or make comments, to disagree agreeably, to enjoy some of the door prizes that we're offering. Incidentally, just to lighten it up and not to take ourselves too seriously, in addition to the free pocket-sized constitution we're distributing to the first 100 people, we have inflatable beach balls with a panda face that we're going to give away at the end of the program. We want people of all political persuasions to attend.
Well, a panda is not is a panda political? I mean, has a panda been politicized?
Panda
does anyone
is not,
know that?
Panda is, no. Panda is cute, and it's very hard to be angry when you have you're looking at a panda face.
Okay, good. So panda maybe means just lighten up and smile and don't take yourself
you
too
can
seriously.
Float these
and,
around
well,
a little
one bit. Of my favorite books in the entire world is the longshoreman philosopher Eric Hoffer's book, The True Believer.
Wonderful,
In which he says a true believer of any stripe is dangerous, no matter what it is, whether it's political, environmental, religious, whatever it is. If you cannot entertain other opinions and views and you are locked into only one true belief, then how can you have dialogue? So it sounds like what you're hoping to do is stir the pot in Long Beach, bring together people from all different factions in a harmonious, peaceful way. Doesn't look like you're hoping to see people really engaging in a very civil way.
If somebody got a little bit too boisterous, I would remind the audience that we have the sheriff there in uniform. He's one of our speakers. We don't anticipate that. We hope that people will be enthusiastic in their agreement or disagreement with other people's opinions. But respecting each other is a very important part of our program.
You could just give them a panda ball, too.
Yes, a panda ball. And I think the word is transpolitical, meaning it's really more about issues rather than what party you belong to. So if there's an issue that involves migrant workers being taken away by ICE, immigration control enforcement agents, and they're friends and neighbors of ours, and they're employees in our oyster picking and cranberry picking fields. They're friends and neighbors. What's happening to those folks? How can we help those folks? Who knows about them? You know, are we connecting up the dots? So transpolitical has to do with all of us. How is our education system working? Is it working for everyone? I know that our county budgets are strapped. So how is that impacting everyone? So it doesn't have to be partisan. It's transpolitical.
Okay, transpolitical. Robert, you have also invited your U.S. representative, Jamie. Why don't you talk about that?
This is 2.5 months ago at least, I got the idea that we should have a town hall that would feature her. And so for anyone
who
thinks...
And she is?
She is the third district U.S. representative.
Jamie
Herrera Butler. And so we started a program to try to inspire her to come here. She hasn't done that in the 6 years or 3 terms that she has served. So we organized a postcard project. We sent a postcard, well over 100 postcards, and scores of telephone calls, contacts from her website, urging her to appear. We didn't get a positive response, although I would note that she will have a town hall on the telephone tomorrow night, the night before our event where we wanted her to appear in person. So we've made extensive efforts to induce her to come to our program. But her inability or unwillingness to appear inspired us to go ahead with our regular town hall without her there.
And I think we're seeing that a lot of times people aren't wanting to go to town halls because they think they're going to devolve into some sort of raucous kind of rowdy events.
We didn't want a shouting match. Even if she did appear, we would be involved. We would be in the audience, and we could ask good questions and expect clear responses, mm-hmm. and the audience in general would be very civil and respectable.
Well, maybe there should be a code of conduct because, you know, before you come in, do you promise that you will behave in a respectful, restrained way? You can be passionate, however, that this is going to be really, let's think about manners, et cetera. But yes, Quinn.
I want to start the evening with a 3-minute video. It's called 3 Minutes of Beautiful Humanity. And it's by the Danish, it's a Danish television production. It's only 3 minutes, but it starts with everybody being funneling in and going to their box. So we've got the haves and the have-nots. There's the folks that we're afraid of. There's the religious folks. There's the folks who are young and wild. Everybody's standing in a box. And then the narrator says, okay, now let's all be honest, but we're going to answer our questions honestly, but I want those of you who are class clowns to come forward. So then out of these groups, folks come forward. Then they ask, okay, and they go back, and then who are step-parents? Come forward. So they come forward. And little by little, everyone starts recognizing it's all of us. And
diversity.
At the end, you know, who loves their country? And everyone comes forward. So it's a way of, it's three beautiful moments.
She's showing that. And then about halfway through our program, echoing that kind of approach, we're going to have a stand up and stretch moment with Gwen. But while they're standing up or sitting down and stretching, Gwen will be asking them some questions like,
how many of you are volunteers? Raise your hand and wave at other volunteers in the group. How many of you have ever been on a board?
How many of you have registered to vote?
How many voted in this last election? How many of you have ever been an elected official?
So you're trying.
How many of you have children in school locally or grandchildren whom you might worry will have to face a difficult future?
So you're trying to really build bridges and
yes.
connect people
yes.
at this town hall. And
but also promote civic engagement. Civic engagement is, I think, at this time, we have a crisis in our country. If you are aware of, you know, politics at all and are concerned, the only way we can overcome some of these things that we've never seen happen before to our democracy is by civic involvement, and that's at the local level.
To respect diversity and have people work together, identify their common interests, and try to solve problems locally.
Well, exactly. It's act locally, think globally, and all of that. But
yes.
And I would also throw in some poetry to inspire people, put them on a different playing level. Mm-hmm. I think. Any last things you'd like the listening audience to know? Because it's true, we live in a deeply divided country. Well, politics everywhere in the world. We're living in a very uncertain time,
yes.
and things are shifting. And we're not putting the blame on any one thing, party, or person. It's just that things are really shifting in our world. And so to really feel like we can make a difference at the local level is empowering and enriching. And so I'm really very supportive of the idea of your town hall, which is April 14th. Any last things you'd like the listening audience to know?
Music at 6:30.
Music at 6:30, free constitutions, and beach balls with panda faces.
Okay, that sounds great. And if anybody has any, thank you so much, Robert and Gwen Brake. If you're interested in the Do Good Knicks and more of what they do, you can reach them at 360-665-2784.
Or they could contact us at Uber. That's lowercase OOBEAR at centurytel.net.
Right. And I will leave this phone number here at the station so that in case you're interested in the Do Good Knicks, and again, a reminder, on the Long Beach Peninsula Town Hall meeting Friday, April 14th, 7 to 9, 6:30 is the music begins. Thank you both so much for being here. Thank you, Kate, for being the engineer this morning. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's so good for you, body, mind, and spirit. And focus on the things that are going well in your life. With gratitude, there will always be those things that aren't going well. Focus on the things that are. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one. For doing the best you can, you are, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.